Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Time now for the watch list, our guide to what to check out on big screens and small screens for the week ahead. And we're joined today by Chief Film Correspondent for the Irish Times, Donald Clark, and podcaster and presenter Fionnuala Jones. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
So we'd start with film, maybe. Donald, The Fantastic Four First Steps is out now in cinema. So A, is it any good? And B, do I need to know the Marvel Universe for this?
It's not bad. And one of the good things about it is that you do not need to know anything about the Marvel Universe. You do not need to spend half an hour or indeed half a day in Marvel University plowing through all the television series and films from the previous 10, 15 years to work out what's happening. It's fine. I mean, it's an interesting thing in that, you know, they failed singularly to make successful standalone films of two of the most successful superheroes of the 1960s. Of both Hulk films failed. Fantastic Four films also struggled to attract audiences. So you get a sense of panic about this. What are we going to do? What they've done is that they've done a retro 60s thing. So it's a version of the 1960s in which certain technologies are available that are still not available now. And that works quite nicely. I quite liked all the kind of Chet Baker on the wireless and, you know, they're all wearing the same costumes as if they were kind of in some kind of circus. But it's sort of the 1960s as seen through the lens of Mad Men. It doesn't look like the 1960s. A glamorous version of it, and I thought it was absolutely fine, better than the chaotic Superman from 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so Fionnuala, it's no dark origin stories or no metaphors for Trump's America or anything. It's just fun, yeah?
Yeah, like it's following this trend of kind of we're with them where they are, you know what I mean? It was the same with Superman as well.
In media res.
We don't find out how they got their powers, really. They're set up as this first family of superheroes. The mission went awry and they have these superpowers and they're living with it now. And then Galactus, the big baddie, comes along. He's mad eating planets. What are they going to do? Et cetera, et cetera. I thought Superman, I think we need to talk off air about Superman because I preferred Superman to this, which was a shame because the cast chemistry is good. Visually, it's a treat. I love the 60s stuff that they're doing. I didn't find it quite as charming as Superman did, and I don't think it's going to be as successful of a reset as Superman was for the DCU, to be honest.
Okay, to something entirely different then, Donald. Bring Her back in cinemas next Friday. And there is a lot of buzz around this.
Yeah, the Australian guys who made the excellent Talk to Me, spooky supernatural horror from 2 years ago, are back with another equally unsettling film about a pair of orphans who are sent to live with an apparently harmless ex-social worker in the usually charming form of Sally Hawkins, but she's doing psycho-biddy stuff this time around.
Okay.
So in a few minutes, it becomes clear that she's got a whole other agenda, which is to do with necromancy. I like these guys. They're interesting in that they came there in the same way. Every generation has a new route into film. You know, 30, 40 years ago, it was advertising, the Ridley Scott generation, then pop videos, the David Fincher generation, and these are the guys who are now coming through YouTube. But I mean, watching their films, though they do have kind of quite broad shocks in them, I saw this a fairly public screening, and there were a few people left, and there were others kind of putting their head in their hands and groaning at several of the more gruesome moments in it. But they're actually not particularly flashy filmmakers. They make films that have a certain amount of depth and look really attractive in their own gloomy way. So I think they're people to watch, and they're, you know, I said it is a new generation finding new ways of getting into this business, and I liked it a lot. It is pretty, and it does have some pretty grim moments, I would say. If you are uneasy about horror films, then approach it with a certain degree of caution.
Okay, bring her back.
And Sally Hawkins is great.
Fionnuala, this is not in the cinema. It's coming. It is on Netflix now. So Adam Sandler has finally done a Happy Gilmore sequel.
I can't actually even begin to explain how angry Happy Gilmore 2 made me. And I say that as someone who, like, quotes the first one once a month. Like, this is... And I watch a lot of slap, Brendan. We've talked about a lot of slap that I've enjoyed on this slap before. This is so unbelievably frustrating. Like, the first half an hour made me incandescent with rage. Like, it's just... If anyone wants to know about the plot, I mean, Happy is back. He's... he's down and out, like he's not working, he's at a personal loss. That's not a spoiler. So what does he do? He's to go back playing golf. I mean, it's just,
because I can't see how this could be bad in any way.
Garish.
Like, Adam Sandler doing his thing.
Garish fan service. He doesn't even seem that checked into this. I will say Rory McIlroy seems like he's having an absolute roiler, so good for him. Yeah. Delighted for him. It's so box ticky in fan service in the world, and it does this thing we were talking about this off air where it's constantly referencing the first film but showing you clips of the first film to be like, this is why you should be laughing at this joke, which I hate. I'm already watching kind of a silly movie. I know I'm silly. Don't make me feel sillier than I am. Don't watch this, please.
Really?
Just please don't. Now, I will say,
I'm going to watch it anyway because it's Happy Gilmore too.
Yeah, I've spoken to other people who liked it and said they thought it was better than other kind of, you know, they said it was better than Anchorman 2 and Zoolander 2, to which I say that's not a high bar to climb. But
I haven't seen this, but I'm astonished, Brendan, you're astonished that a kind of 40-year delayed sequel to Happy Gilmore is bad.
I mean, I find Adam Sandler very watchable on Netflix. I haven't paid to go and see it in the cinema or anything, and like sometimes the kids can watch it too, and you know, he does his thing, like, and I'm well disposed towards him. Fair play to him. That's what I say. Yeah. So Donald, tell me about My Mom Jane, which is out now in Sky Documentaries.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I missed this great documentary in Cannes, but my colleague Taro from the Irish Times was at it and said it was one of the most moving screenings she'd ever been at. Mariska Hargitay, who you'll listeners will know from years and years of Law and Order, by one measure the longest running character in a primetime drama, sets out to make this film, make a film and discover secrets about the mother she'd never really knew, who was the 50s and 60s pin-up Jane Mansfield, who is one of those people who his name is known, but she was actually in very few films even a avid film buff could name.
She's kind of an icon of the culture.
Exactly,
in some way.
Yeah. And image, was hugely famous as a beauty icon, and she's famous for that degree of fame, and also because tragically she died in a car crash at the age of 34. I hadn't realised that Mariska Hargitay, then little more than a toddler, was in the car with her at the time. And I'm told at the Cannes screening that the lavatories were full of women putting their mascara back on again afterwards, because they were all there at the screening, Hargitay and the brothers and sisters. And there are revelations in it, which is something that you want in a documentary like this, not to be too crude about it. I won't spoil what those are. But also it's worth pointing out, it's a very, very well-made film. They've got acres of archive footage, unsurprisingly, I guess, from somebody who was so photographed and so filmed, and it's cut and edited together very, very skillfully. I should say Hargitay actually directed the film. She's not just there as a personality to talk us through. And I thought it was a very touching examination of a personality who's, I think many people who listen to the show whose name will know, but know almost nothing about her, bar the fact that she died tragically young and that woman out of Law and Order is her daughter.
Yeah, that sounds great.
So it's downloadable on Sky and now for another few weeks, and I really recommend
My Mom Jane. All right. Okay, we'll speed up a bit now. Fionnuala, One Night in Idaho is out now on Prime Video. This is about the 2022 University of Idaho murders. The killer was only sentenced last week. Is it a bit too soon for a true crime treatment?
I suppose there is an argument for that. I suppose with this was made by a documentarian, Liz Garbus, who people know from I'll Be Gone in the Dark, about the Golden State Killer. And when this was made, it was done, the gag order was still in place. So it's not really about the gory, gruesome details, which I think, like, I'm not a big true crime head at all. Like, I think the genre overall is exploitive. What I think this does really well is kind of lay out plainly what happened in the days following with the social media sleuthing and the impact it's still having on the victim's friends, the victim's families. It really acts as a mirror.
It's quite a good snapshot of the culture. Excellent.
That's
One Night
Prime
in
Video.
Idaho, Prime Video. Donald, how did I not know that Diane Morgan from Kunk and Motherland has a sitcom called Mandy, which is back for its fourth season on
BBC
Two?
That's a very good question. I mean, partly, maybe because it's only a quarter of an hour long, so the BBC don't...
Even better.
Yeah, well, exactly. They don't feel the need to promote it that, or don't even desire to promote it that much. But I felt the same thing. I was, you know, coming onto the show, I like it a lot, and I've watched it since the first series. And I was, you know, one of the lines I scribbled down to say underrated, and I'd say, well, it's not that underrated. It's got the four series, so clearly a lot of people like the thing. The title character, it should be said, is not a million miles away from the dead-eyed Egypt, who's Philomena Kunk, who you and I have talked about before on this show. Though Mandy, who's is northerner, who's at living in kind of in embarrassed circumstances in the north of England, has not managed to find a post as a TV presenter like her unofficial cousin. cousin. One of the recurring topics is her trying to find a job and failing miserably. It's also got a surreal element to it that reminded me a little of Toast of London. It's got that same kind of somewhere in between, you know, a vaguely naturalistic sitcom or something.
How funny is it out of 10? That's what people want to know. How funny out of 10?
Oh, 8, I would say. And I would say the current series continues on Wednesday on BBC. And if you don't like it, it'll be over in 15 minutes. If you do like it, they've got 2 episodes together. So perfect. The other one will be along in a minute.
Like 10 o'clock, BBC Two Wednesday. That's called Mandy. Finulli, you want to get people ready for the Wicked sequel in November? So the first one is ready.
Yes, it's on now in Sky now. Sorry, I have to stop singing on air. I have a really bad habit of that. Wicked for Good is coming out in November. So if you haven't, I'm sure everyone has watched it, but like, watch it again. It's just, I say to someone who's not a big musical head, wasn't really sure if I would be swept up in Wicked fever. Great, and I definitely was. It's very long, but I actually didn't, won't find it long. Insane performances from Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande. So yeah, just.
Okay.
Good one for the weekend. Good family one.
Tell me about the cult classic Threads on BBC Four on Wednesday at 11:15. I think there's a remake in the works, but this is the original. It was a huge thing at the time.
It was, yeah. It's a strange thing. The BBC had this habit in the over 30 years of making truly horrifying depictions of nuclear war and getting in trouble with the government of the day. 1966, there was Peter Watkins's famous, brilliant pseudo-documentary, The War Game, that was banned and was actually not eventually screened until 1985 on the 40th anniversary of Hiroshima, right before a repeat screening of Barry Hines's Threads from the previous year, which itself caused enormous ructions. I can remember Michael Heseltine at the time remarking that, you know, in his sly, clever way, that it confirmed why Britain needed nuclear weapons, because if we didn't have a deterrent, if they didn't have a deterrent, then this is what the Russians would do.
And is it a shocker,
It is, yeah. It's Barry Hines who wrote this. It wrote the novel on which Kes was based, and it has that kitchen sink feeling to it, set in Sheffield. Sheffield is a city which gets destroyed by a nuclear weapon at the beginning of the series, and then it uses that kind of naturalistic kitchen sink feeling to connect you with the characters in a way many dramas would not. And it does that, I think, very effectively, and it has. I still to this day remember the first time I saw the really horrific, degrading final scene in it, which still sticks in my brain. It's really good, and it's worth watching because we've all got a bit blasé about the threat of nuclear war, I think, over the last 20 or 30 years, and it's still there.
Okay, Threads, BBC Four, Wednesday at 11:15. By the way, people not happy about Happy Gilmore 2. We knew what we were getting, says someone. Great stuff. We watched it last night. Such a good time. Everyone I talked to loves it. I know it is. Love the clips. Rory was terrible, says that person. It was awful, but in a good way, says Dee in Waterford. If you love golf, Scotty is too funny. Watch it for all the golfer cameos and digs at Live Golf. I'm watching it. The hell with you, Finulla. Okay, Donna Clark and Finulla Jones, thank you very much. That's it for today. You can listen back to all the conversations from today's show on the RTE Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.